Luke chapter 6, we're continuing to look at the encounters of Christ. The opportunities he had to deal with people one-on-one. And the opportunities he had to deal with groups of people. And let me say this again, I said it last week, and it's very instructional. The Bible is great with instruction. That when Jesus dealt with people one-on-one, he was much more successful than dealing with a group. Now, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And yet the pattern is simply here. When he talked to Nicodemus, Nicodemus got saved. When he talked to the woman at the well believed. When he talks to these groups of Pharisees or Sadducees, they go away angered. It's that group mentality. And you'll find that almost every time. You walk into a group of people and hand out a gospel tract, and they might take them, but there's going to be that spirit. There's going to be that mocker in the group that's going to kind of step forward and lead the group. But you get them one-on-one, and there's a whole different spirit to it. That mob mentality is something that is just common in society. And the mob mentality will usually follow the lowest common denominator. And so Jesus specialized in dealing with people one-on-one. Now, he did not back down from dealing with these groups. And most of the times when he's dealing with a group of people, it's because they approached him, not him approaching them. But he dealt with them, and when he did, it wasn't as successful, if we can put it that way. Now, the seed was still sown. The word was still put to work. But it didn't bring fruit like it did on that one-on-one basis. So a great example for you and I to seek that one-on-one communication with folks that need the gospel. On several occasions, Jesus was confronted on the issue of the Sabbath. We just saw last week that Jesus, as was his custom, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Jesus elevated the Sabbath. He observed the Sabbath. He believed that that seventh day was a day of rest, and it was a day of worship, and Jesus followed that pattern. And yet at the same time, there were those that added to, the Pharisees were guilty of adding to the Sabbath. Of not only teaching the law of Moses, but adding a bunch of other codes in so that they could have power and control over the Sabbath. And so when Jesus came, as you know, there are seven miracles that Jesus worked on the Sabbath day. And out of those seven miracles he worked on the Sabbath day, five of those led to a confrontation with the Pharisees where they accused him of working on the Sabbath day. Working because he's working a miracle. You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath day. And so they acquainted working a miracle with working. They couldn't see the need. They couldn't see the dilemma of the person that was being healed, or in the disciples, as we'll see this morning, them being fed. They weren't focused on that. You know, if the Pharisees would have been looking for needs, they'd have been much better off. If they were looking for the man with the withered hand, how can I help him? If they were looking at the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years, how can we help her? But that's not what they were looking. They were looking at Jesus breaking the Sabbath by supposedly helping these people on the Sabbath day. Their eyes were fixated on the wrong thing. So this morning we're looking at what we're going to call correcting Sabbath attitudes. Correcting Sabbath attitudes. Now again, remember, Jesus upheld the Sabbath. He kept the Sabbath. He kept it to the letter of the law of Moses. But he did not go farther than the law of Moses and put on people burdens that were not intended like the Pharisees did. The Pharisees were self-appointed Sabbath police. And when the disciples are cutting through a cornfield, as we're going to see, they were following them through the cornfield. When Jesus was in the synagogue and there was a man with a withered hand or a woman with a stooped back sitting in the front row, they were, everywhere Jesus went, they were following him around, waiting for him to do something, breaking the Sabbath day. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like work to me right there. They were breaking their own Sabbath by following Jesus everywhere he could, looking for him to mess up somewhere. That's the attitude of the Pharisee, waiting for something to criticize, waiting for something to find fault with. And yet the fault was with them. Because they were looking at Jesus and weren't looking at the hunger of the disciples. They were looking at Jesus and weren't looking at the stooped woman or the woman with the issue of blood. Their eyes were always in the wrong place. So let's look this morning at this time where Jesus corrected Sabbath attitudes. You'll notice we're in Luke chapter 6, verse 1 to 5, but this story is also told in Matthew chapter 12 and Mark chapter 2, and we will make reference to those two occasions as we go through the study this morning. But we're sticking mainly to Luke chapter 6. And it came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days? And Jesus answering them said, Have ye not read so much as this, what David did when himself was a-hungered, and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread, and gave also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priests alone. And he said unto them that the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In these short five verses, we're going to look at correcting Sabbath attitudes. Letter A in our outline this morning, looking at verse number 1, we see the actions of the disciples. The actions of the disciples. It came to pass that he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. All right, Jesus never contradicted anything that was taught in the Old Testament about the Sabbath. But the religious leaders had added to it. And here they said, they're doing that which is not permitted to do on the Sabbath day. Notice these things about the actions of the disciples. Number one, their path. It says in verse 1, It came to pass that as they went through the cornfields and his disciples plucked the ears of corn. You understand, back in Bible days, much like primitive America, you know, sometimes I stop and I ponder when you get into some places in Appalachia, in this part of Ohio, and try to go back and imagine it with no highways and with no state routes and with no side streets. Try to imagine it when when our forefathers went from east going to the west, when they crossed here and settled in Marietta and settled. Imagine Cambridge and all that before any of the roads were here. And when people wanted to travel from east to west, they would follow paths through the wilderness, paths through the wild. And that's basically what the disciples were doing back then. There were not roads per se. There were beaten paths. I like to think of it like, as they're going through the cornfield, they're following a deer path. You've seen those through the cornfields or through the wheat fields or through the soybean, where the deer have made their own path walking through it. That's what the disciples are doing. They're not roads. They're not necessarily streets like that. But they're walking through this path. And the amazing thing to me is the Pharisees are following them. They're out in the middle of nowhere going through this cornfield, and there's the disciples right behind them. They're doing their Sherlock Holmes, walking around with their eyeglasses and watching to see everything that they do, inspecting everything they do, and we'll see that in just a moment. But here they are walking through that path on the Sabbath day, and there are the ever-present Pharisees watching them. You know this, the Pharisees are ever-present. They're always around looking for fault. Looking for something to criticize. Looking for something. That's a tough life. That's a tough life as a Pharisee, where you're always looking for something. Looking for something to find fault with. God deliver us from a Pharisaical spirit and a Pharisaical attitude. Well, the preacher's tie didn't, I hope it matched, my wife picked it out. But his tie didn't match his suit. Or I didn't like the music, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like that, or this wasn't good enough, or it was too warm, or it was too cold, or, you know, whatever it is, we're always picking and finding fault. That Pharisaical, and you know, usually when we're doing that, when we're focusing on the bad, we're missing the good. When we're focusing on the bad, we're missing the good. And the Pharisees were missing the positive aspects of the Sabbath because they were so focused, looking for, concentrating on, examining every little detail to try to find fault. And here, as the disciples are walking through that path through the cornfield, there's the Pharisees following them right through it. Now, I don't know if this is before worship Sunday morning, and the Pharisees haven't had breakfast, or excuse me, the disciples haven't had breakfast. Or I don't know if this is after the Sabbath worship service and the disciples have not yet had lunch. But the Bible tells us they're hungry. And they're going through the cornfield. And the Pharisees, had they seen the need, would say, well, isn't that great that the disciples found some food to eat, found something to eat? If they'd have been looking at the need rather than the criticism, they'd have been much better off. But they followed them down that path. It came to pass as he went through the cornfields. Number two, not only their path, but their palate. You like that word? P-A-L-A-T-E. Their palate. That's their appetite. Had to have a word that started with P. Their palate, their appetite, their desire for food. The Bible says in his disciples, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 2, in the same account it says, and his disciples were a-hungered. Think about this a moment. His disciples were a-hungered. Why were his disciples hungry? I mean, couldn't Jesus take five loaves and two fishes and feed 5,000? Couldn't he on another kind feed 4,000? And yet here's his very disciples that have forsaken everything to follow him, and they don't have food to feed themselves. You know, there's a lesson for us that sometimes serving the Lord Jesus Christ will put us in need. We live in a comfortable time, folks. We live in a comfortable day, and I want to be careful because this will spill over into my morning message about taking up the cross and following him. But we live in very comfortable times, and we don't often go outside of our comfort zone. We want the Lord to meet us inside our comfort zone. We don't want the Lord to expect or demand us to step outside our comfort zone. Lord, we'll serve you as long as it's in our place, where we're at, according to our conditions. But Lord, don't ask me to go outside of this. The disciples forsook all to follow him, and they are a-hungered. I wonder how many days in their lives these fishermen were ever hungry before. Because they were self-sustaining. They could take care of themselves. They could feed themselves and their family. But now that they've forsaken all to follow him, now on this Sabbath day, as they're passing through the cornfield, they are hungry. You know, in our day of this prosperity gospel preaching, where is it? Who is it? Jesse Duplantis that just asked his people to send him money. He needs 25 million. I forget what it is. I forget the number, but he needs 25 million right away to buy a new jet. And this would sound ridiculous. It'd sound like I'm making it up if it wasn't true. His old jet is just not fly worthy anymore, and he needs a new jet to get around. And he's pleading with his people that send his ministry money to finance him getting this new jet. Here's Jesus' disciples passing through the cornfield on the Sabbath day, and they're hungry. You see the difference in the mentality? Now, I understand that TV evangelist is an extreme on this end, but that represents our modern day attitude toward Christianity more than that. Go without a meal? Miss food for the service of the Lord? That's outside our comfort zone. And here are these disciples. The disciples were a-hungered. Serving the Lord didn't make them wealthy. Serving the Lord did not make them prosperous. Serving the Lord in this occasion made them hungry. And the Pharisees didn't see it. They couldn't see it. Notice number three, they're plucking. I like this one. Verse number 6. And his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, rubbing them in their hands. The Bible says that they plucked the ears of corn. We're familiar with that. You know what that is, to go out into the cornfield and tear off an ear of corn. And then it says that they did eat, rubbing them in their hands, putting the corn stalk between their hands, getting the stalk off of it and getting the silk off of it so that they could eat the corn that was there. And that very action is the one that caused the Pharisees to say they were working on the Sabbath day. You know what they were doing? They were plucking and they were rubbing before they ate. And the Pharisees took that action as labor and work. You know what the Pharisees would do? They say, when I poured the cereal from the box into my bowl, I was working on the Sabbath day. When I got the milk out of the refrigerator and poured it from my hand to the bowl, that was on the Sabbath day. And they were classifying that action as work. Notice if you would, let me find the place. Deuteronomy chapter 23. Look back there if you would. Deuteronomy 23. And verse number 25. Notice what the law of Moses permitted and allowed. In Deuteronomy 23 and verse 25, when thou comest into the standing corn of thy neighbor, then thou mayest pluck the ears with thine hand. But thou shalt not move a sickle unto thy neighbor's standing corn. You know, God had a great welfare system in the Old Testament. That if a poor man wanted to eat, he was allowed to go into the field of the standing corn, and he was allowed to pluck for himself that which would satisfy himself. And he could go into that field and get what he needed to satisfy himself and to eat. But he wasn't allowed to take a sickle in there and cut down enough to take home to feed himself and the rest of his family. They were allowed to come in and reap from that harvest right there, but not to put a sickle to it, not to labor and work and take it home with them, because it wasn't theirs. But the law of Moses allowed the hungry to go into the field and to pluck the corn and to eat for themselves to satisfy their need. But the Pharisees had taken that now and were applying it to the Sabbath day and saying, no, that which you're allowed to do on the other days, you can't do on the Sabbath day because that's labor. Putting the sickle to the field is labor. Rubbing the corn in your hand is not. You know, by the law of the Pharisees, as they added to the Sabbath, actually taking food from the plate and putting it into your mouth could have been considered labor and work under their codes of what they added. But the law of Moses permitted them to do the things that they were doing. The Pharisees were always taking it one step farther. There are those kind of folks today. The Seventh-day Adventists today believe that if you don't worship on Saturday, which, can we admit, is the Sabbath? In the Old Testament, Saturday, God began creation on the first day of the week, which was Sunday. And on the seventh day, which was Saturday, He rested and instituted it as a day of rest in the Old Testament. Saturday was the Sabbath day. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ changed the day of our worship, so that we don't worship on the Sabbath day, Saturday, but we worship on Sunday. So practically speaking, we make Sunday the Christian Sabbath. Now, we're not under the codes and the rules and the regulations of the Sabbath, but that's the day we worship now. But the Jews, in elevating that day of worship, just shut down everything. I think I told you one time when we were out in the Pacific Islands, they had congregational church missionaries back in the 1600s, 1700s. And the congregational church is very big on the Sabbath of Sunday being observed like the Jews did the Sabbath on Saturday in the Old Testament. And in those islands out there, because they were so influenced by the congregational church, on Sunday, everything, you walked to church, you went home, and you laid around and did nothing until the evening, and then went to church and came back again. And kids were not allowed to play in the playground. Teenagers were not allowed to go out and play basketball. There were no restaurants or stores for anything to be open on Sunday, but everything just shut down on that day. And God did not institute the Sabbath for us on the Sunday to observe to that extent. But can I say, He instituted it as a day of rest. And what have we as Americans done with Sunday as a day of rest? There's not much rest on Sunday. It's get church out of the way so we can get back to real life. Let's get those couple hours out of the way so we can go out and do what we need to do. Let's mow the lawn. Let's get to work. Let's do what we do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Let's do it again on Sunday after church time. And we've forsaken God's element. You know, I'm getting way ahead of myself. God did not make man for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man. God knows that our bodies need nourishment. They need these food. The disciples are hungry. They're passing through a cornfield. The Lord is with them. If anybody's going to stop them from doing something wrong, it'd be the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they take the ears of corn and they rub them, the Lord doesn't hinder them, the Lord doesn't stop them, the Lord doesn't rebuke them. There's nothing wrong with what they're doing. But the Pharisees that are trying to make those high points are following them around and looking at what they're doing. I want you to notice one thing, and this is just for your reference. The disciples plucked the ears of corn. You have any problem with that? I love corn. I love corn on the cob. And that's what they're doing. They're walking through the cornfields. The newer Bibles all changed that to something else. It was wheat. It was grain. And they changed the word, and I read the commentaries, and they say, this wasn't corn, but corn was the word for wheat or grain. No, there's another word the Bible used when they see the fields that are ripe unto harvest. They see the wheat. They see the grain. This is corn. We don't need to, again, it just amazes me what verses and what words the new Bibles choose to change and pick out. I don't have any problem understanding. They're walking through a cornfield. And they pluck the ears of corn and rub them in their hands and eat them. I don't have to change that word to understand it. So we see the actions of the disciples in verse 1. Quickly, letter B. The accusing of the disciples in verse 2. The accusing of the disciples. And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? That's their accusation. Again, they're doing nothing wrong. It's a false accusation. It's a false accusation. And that's sad that these religious folks, these that were entrusted with the keeping of the Old Testament, these that are supposed to be the leaders spiritually, were guilty of false accusations made by the enemies of Christ. They couldn't find fault with Christ. They had tried. So now they're aiming at his disciples. Christian, that's the way the world will operate. They can't find any fault with your Savior, but they can find fault with you. And they will be watching. And they will be looking. What's that verse back in Psalm chapter 35? Aha, aha, our eyes have seen it, they say. The world is watching us, like the Pharisees going through the cornfield. Those that you work with, those that are your family, those that are unsaved, or even those that are Christian but not dedicated like you are watching and looking to find contradiction and fault with everything that we do. We need to be careful not to give them those things for accusation, and at the same time realize they're going to find something. Don't lose any sleep over it. They're going to find something they can point at, because we're not sinless, we're not perfect. So here they are accusing the disciples. Notice number one, the source of the accusation. The source of the accusation, it says in verse 2, and certain of the Pharisees. Who are the accusers? The Pharisees. They appointed themselves, as we said already, the Sabbath police, monitoring the actions of everybody else. Watching everybody else. Monitoring the people around them. They're the religious folks. These are the same ones that wanted to kill Christ. Isn't that some hypocrisy? The same ones that want to kill Christ are criticizing the disciples for eating corn on Sunday. Some list of priorities they've got there. The source of the accusation, certain of the Pharisees. Number two, here's our $5 word for today, the scrutinizing. S-C-R-U-T-I-N-I-Z-I-N-G. Scrutinizing. What do you mean by that, preacher? The scrutinizing the accusation. Matthew 12:2 just says, certain of the Pharisees, he says, but when the Pharisees saw it, they were scrutinizing everything the disciples did. Everything was under the magnifying glass. Everything was being watched closely by the Pharisees. They're following them through the cornfield and waiting and looking and anticipating for them to do something wrong. If you're looking for fault, can I tell you what? You're going to find it. When you're looking for fault, you'll find it. When you're looking for good, you'll find it. Here's the Pharisees following them through there, watching, looking for something. Again, many in Christianity today are just like they're looking for something to criticize. Sometimes we say it, our blesser is broke. You know what the, true measure of spirituality is? Is it doesn't take a lot to bless you. It doesn't take a lot to get you excited. It doesn't take a lot to put a spiritual smile on your face. When it takes a lot to get you to that point, there's a problem. When it takes a lot of work and drumming up and building up to get us to enjoy the things of God, there's a problem. Walking through the cornfields, plucking the thing, those that were critical are looking at that and finding fault with the very actions of the disciples, looking for something to criticize. We've said it before. Brother Griffiths said it one time when he was here, that the man walked up to him and said, I have a spiritual gift. Brother Griffiths said, what is it? He said, I've got the gift of criticism. Too many Christians have that gift. Too many believers have that gift. Not a whole lot have the gift of grace to overlook things, but a lot have the gift of criticism. So here we have the scrutinizing, the one sitting back looking. You know what they're doing? They're following the disciples around. You know who the disciples are? The ones that are following Christ. The Pharisees are the ones that are following the disciples, looking for fault. The disciples are the ones that are going to be given the power to cast out evil spirits and heal the sick and all that kind of stuff. They're the ones that are going to be doing the work. The Pharisees are the ones following them around, criticizing them. There's a pattern there. Those that are most involved in the labor have the least amount of time to be watching others. Those that are so busy and active themselves don't have the time to critique others. The Pharisees are watching the disciples do all the work, and they're just sitting back criticizing. The scrutinizing. Then number three, the subject of the accusation. The subject. Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day? Again, what they did was not wrong. It was permitted in the law of Moses. But the Pharisees were focused on when they were doing it. Not what they were doing, but when they were doing it. The farmer was not allowed to harvest his crop on Sunday or on the Sabbath day. He was not allowed to go out there and put the sickle to it. But there was nothing wrong with plucking the corn and rubbing in your hands and meeting the needs of yourself when you were hungry. But the disciples or the Pharisees were looking for those accusations. So we have the actions, we have the accusing, and then thirdly and lastly, letter C, we have the answer for the disciples. I like this in verse 3, and Jesus answering them said. Can I tell you this? When you're facing criticism, when the accusations are flowing, don't be quick to answer. Don't be quick to for defending yourself. Allow the Lord time to give an answer, because He can give a lot better one. Sometimes we want to react when somebody speaks negatively against us. We want to shout out. We want to defend ourselves. We want to say something in defense. Sometimes the best thing to do is just wait and let God take care of it. And I got news for you. He'll take care of it a lot better than you and I could. Now, when I say that, I don't, you know, you say, oh, you're saying He's going to whip those people that, no, that's not it, but He will take care of it. Maybe He'll show them the wrongness of their accusation. Maybe He'll show them the evilness of their spirit. But don't be quick just to jump into the fray and answer. I appreciate this. And Jesus answered. They're accusing the disciples, and Jesus stepped in and answered for them. That's what I want the Lord to do anytime I'm facing an accusation. Lord, please step in for me. Lord, please take care of this situation. Lord, please handle this for me. And the Lord, the Bible says, and Jesus answering them said, the Lord came to the defense of His disciples and gave five reasons very quickly in 4 minutes. He gave five reasons why it was not wrong for the disciples to eat that corn on that Sabbath day. Number one, the example here in Luke chapter 6 was the providing of bread for David. The providing of bread for David. Have you not read so much as this, what David did when himself were hungered and they that were with him? How he went into the house of God and did take and eat the showbread and gave also to them that were with him, which is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone. Notice this, he said, have you not read? There's a rebuke for these masters of the Old Testament. Have you not read? You know what Jesus did? He took them back to the Bible. They were adding their rules and regulations to the Sabbath day, and Jesus said, let's forget that. Let's go back to Scripture. Have you not read? That was a slap in their face. Because that was what they prided themselves in. And Jesus said, you've gone beyond the Word of God. Then he said, have you not read what happened to David back in the days of David and the place of worship in the wilderness? They would make the showbread and bring it in on the Sabbath day, and from that Sabbath day to the next Sabbath day, that showbread was the food for the priests that ministered in the temple. That showbread was set aside as holy, made on the Sabbath day to last to the next Sabbath day. And when David and his men, back in 1 Samuel 21, when they came through and they were hungry, the priest took that bread and gave it to David and his men. Why? Because the need of the people was greater than the ceremonial law. The need of David and his men as they came through hungry was more important to the Lord than the ceremonial law. Now the Lord is using that as an example to them. Hey, the need of these men, the need of these disciples is greater than the ceremonial law. Number two, the second response he gives, and this is over in Matthew chapter 12, we'll not turn there, but he gives the answer of the priest's work in the temple. The priests work in the temple, and you see it there, Matthew 12:5. Or have you not read? There he goes again. Have you not read how on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? The Sabbath is to be a day of rest. Can I tell you this? It's not a day of rest for a preacher. Sundays is one of the most, can I say this, like stressful days. I'm not looking for sympathy, but Sunday, you gotta be ready to teach Sunday school. You gotta be ready to preach the morning service. You gotta be ready to preach the evening service. You've gotta be overseeing or monitoring anything that's going on within the church itself, all the different activities and things that are going on. There's a lot of work to be done. It's not a day of rest. So the Lord was saying that for the priests in the Old Testament in the temple, it wasn't a day of rest for them. They were laboring. They were profaning the Sabbath by their service on that day, but it was required for the house of God to operate. So the Lord is using that as an example for them, that it's not a day of rest for all. That some are going to be laboring. Verse 6, he said, of Matthew 12, and in this place is one greater than the temple. When you're serving Him, that's greater than the Sabbath. When the Lord is with them walking through the cornfield, the presence of the Lord is greater than the ceremonial law. Number three, quickly, the passage about priorities. And I didn't put the reference, but at the end of the verse, you might want to write Matthew 12, verse 7. The passage about priorities. The Lord said, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. You would have not condemned the guiltless. But if ye had known what this meaneth. You know what he does? He quotes Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Again, the Lord going back to the Old Testament for these Pharisees that thought they knew so much and were contradicting the Word of God. They didn't know the Scriptures. They knew their customs and traditions, but not the Scripture. If ye had known, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. What was the problem with the Pharisees? The Lord said, if your ox falls into a ditch on the Sabbath day, you'll go down there and get him out. But if a man has a withered hand, you think it's breaking the Sabbath by healing that withered hand. They were so messed up on what sympathy and compassion were. And the Lord said to them, He said, if you'd known, thou shalt have mercy and not sacrifice. Number four, the purpose of the Sabbath. Mark 2:27, the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was not made for rules and regulations for a man to have to follow. But it was made for a man to have rest. And then lastly, number five, the power over the Sabbath. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. You know what he's telling the Pharisees? It's not your Sabbath day, it's my Sabbath day. That's what the Lord's saying. It's not your Sabbath day, it's my Sabbath day. I gave the rules and regulations in the law of Moses for it. You're adding all these different things, the pots and pans and washing of hands and all these rules and regulations and traditions of the elders. It's not your Sabbath day, it's mine. I'm Lord of the Sabbath. These disciples can do whatever I want them to do. The Lord has power over the Sabbath. So correcting, you say, what's the result of this? Absolutely nothing. It didn't change the Pharisees' attitude. They're going to turn around on the next Sabbath day and accuse him of something all over again. But you know what it did do? It showed the disciples that the Lord would step in for them. It showed the disciples that when the Pharisees made the accusations, he would step in and intervene. And that's a wonderful blessing for you and I. Let the Lord step in. Let him take care of the critics. Let him take care of the accusations. Let him take care of the naysayers. Let him take care of it. We're too prone to handle it ourselves. Put it in the Lord's hand. Correcting Sabbath attitudes. Lord, thank you for your word. Again, we've gone through it so quickly. Just in these five verses. Yet, Lord, what a wonderful wealth of information. Father, help us to glean from the word of God.